The following shiur has been presented by Rev Shraga Kallis, Reish Koilel at the Beis Havad Halacha Koilel in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara Shabbos in Daf Mem Bava Min Aleph says, three lines from the bottom, Amalei, my time a rabbi of Yaisiv Damar Chavai Shragad the Nifta Nami Shari Litaltule. Why is this neft? Why is it mutter to be metaltel? Amalei, hoil v'chaze l'chisuye b'mona. Because it has a usage, right? It's used, we could use it for something. This Shragad Nifta could cover up a kli. So, in fact, the Gemara come elamiato. Kolts, right? Shebechatzer. The Gemara takes on as a davar pashit that all rocks and stones and things that are in the field, outside in the courtyard, and we should be able to metal to them too. And we know we're not allowed to. Elamiato kolts, right? Shebechatzer metal to lin because hoyel v'chazil chsiya b'manachar. Every one of these stones you could use to cover a bottle, which in their time is kanira a common thing. But we'll say in our time we could use every one of the stones to make be a door stopper. Amalei hoyika tyrus kli Allah and honey leika tyrus kli aleh. This is a very sadistic Gemara, that the Gemara says that it doesn't have a Tyrus Kli, and this is really the Yisayid of Hilchas Muksa. And I say Yisayid of Hilchas Muksa because in Muksa, there are really two types of Muksa. There's what we call real Muksa and fake Muksa. That means the Takan of Muksa is split into two categories. When you learn later on in the Sugis, in Kol Kalim, in Dafkuf Chof Beis, Gimel, over there the Gemara seems to bring up Muksa again, and it seems to be that the rules of Muksa are very, very different than what we seem to see over here in our sugyas in Mem Vav, Mem Hei, Mem Gimel. In our sugyas over here, the only possibility of ever moving mukzah, as we discussed in the past, is the al yedei tiltum atzad or blowing and indirect movement. But to actually move mukzah is never permitted. To move mukzah for a tzayach gufay mekayma, none of these things are allowed. And it seems to be that the takana of mukzah is very strong, that you're not allowed to move mukzah because. And bane for tzarech gufa, bane if you need it to, bane if you need a place, bane if you need it to use it for something, that's moksa. Moksa means that it's set aside and not to be moved on Shabbos. This is the pashtus of all of these sugis over here. It's moksa. Moksa you can't move. You come to the sugis later on. It seems to drastically change. It seems to be that there's a concept of tzarech gufay and tzarech mekayma. I'm allowed to move a hammer if I need the hammer to open up a coconut. And if a hammer's on the chair, I can move it so I can sit on the chair. Tzarech mekayma, tzarech gufay. If you have a fan, you could move the fan away from you. Moving the fan away from you because it's blowing on you, it's tzarech mekayma. This makam is being ruined by the fan. If I want to take the fan and move it toward me, that would be called tzarech gufay. I'm using the fan and it seems to be over there be mutter. So why over here in our sugyas do we see that there's no heter to move muksa at all, and there it seems to be it's mutter. So this is a tremendous story that really there's two different halakim of muksa. I mean, we find really ba'emis that the Gemara already in Daf Lamed already discusses, Gemara Lamed Aleph discusses that David HaMelech was in the sun, his body was in the sun and being rotted, and the Shaila came to Shlomo HaMelech what to do. The Gemara discusses over there. There's a shaila also about the other animals in the of the malchus, and basically what came out was that David HaMelech was muksa, that the mace was muksa, and it seems to be that this is a takana that goes all the way back to the time of David HaMelech. And Bemis, we find a smach for this in the pasuk that the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael in the midbar v'chinu es asher yaviu, that anything that's not prepared before Shabbos, which of course a mace is not prepared before Shabbos for usage, that's called muksa. Muksa means that anything which doesn't have on it, like our Gemara says, a shame kli, is muksa. It's set aside, it's not set aside for a usage, a Shabbos usage, or it's not set aside for that matter as a kli even, so it doesn't have a tyrus kli, and anything that's not a kli is muksa. Muksa you can't move, not l'tzarech gufay, not l'tzarech mekaymai, and bemis, the siba for muksa, the Rambam says different reasons, maybe because we're afraid you'll come with a hoitza, we wanted to limit the person's mobility on Shabbos, his mobility of items on Shabbos, because once he starts moving around items, he'll start to carry it outside, etc. So we limited the things to only things that are kalim. That's what Takana Keduma, that goes back all the way certainly to the time of David HaMelech. However, later on, the Gemara tells us that in the time of Nehemia, that the Klal Yisrael were lax in Shmir Shabbos, and they were geyser on kalim. What seems to come out from that Gemara is that be'emes, kalim such as a hammer, and such as even kalim which are primarily used for iser, were really mutter, mitzad the first gzeira of muktzah, mitzad this first din of v'chinu tasher yaviu. Just when Klal Yisrael were lax in Shmir Shabbos, so the Chachamim, the Nechemim, and others, they came along and were geyser, that even kalim are going to be forbidden. Even things that are set aside for use, not just something like a stone in the field, even a hammer is going to be in the parsha of Moksa. It's extended to things that are called, that are, yes, kalim, yes, called kalim. However, that takana went through kama shlavim, went through kama levels. First, originally they answered it in Gansen. Then they saw the Klai Yisrael were becoming a little bit more shimer and a little bit more shimer until the point of what we have today. And that takana originally, you see that they even answered perhaps even kalim that were mutter. And till the point of what we have the takana today, that a keli that was lemelachta leisser, a kli whose primarily its function is for isser, such as a hammer or such as maybe a cell phone of a cheaper type of a cell phone, maybe not an expensive one, which would be a chasar and kiss. But a hammer is the classic example. Its primary use, of course, is to do isser, is to knock in nails and to do isurim. That you're going to be allowed to move l'tzarech kufay and l'tzarech mekayimay, but not l'tzarech atzma, not to save it from being ruined or save it from being stolen. And that just makes it very clear there are two takanas of moksa. There's two chalakim of moksa, and this is what we'll call real moksa and fake moksa. Real moksa is a moksa that you can't move, not at all. That's a takana keduma, and that is a chomer type of a moksa. Then there's another moksa, which is fake moksa. I say it's not real moksa simply because the lashon of the Ritva and other mefarshim, they call it gzeiras kalim. It's not even moksa, because if it would be moksa, you wouldn't be allowed to move it at all. So the fact that we're allowed to move it when we have a Shabbistic use, that shows us it's not real moksa. It's fake moksa. It looks like moksa almost, right? But we're not going to be allowed to move it when there's no tzarech, but once it'll be a tzarech gufa, it's a tzarech mekayim, which of course you'll learn later on in the Shpeta de Kiprakim. But that is not the muksa of our sugya. Our sugya is a muksa of something that doesn't have a Torah's keli. This has tremendous ramifications. A kli is the most aleph-based analogy of when you deal with muksa. So just to give a few examples, you know, paint and thick shampoo and gasoline, these are all things that they get used up when they're used, they're not called kalim. That's not a kli. Therefore, of course, to move around the thick shampoo or gasoline or paint or these things in Shabbos, person has a bottle of Coke behind a paint can or something, so he wouldn't be allowed to move it. I need to move the paint to get to the Coca-Cola. That's blocking the muck, and that's, of course, forbidden, because that would be muksa machmas gufa. It's a real muksa machmas gufa. Now, as an aside, you can understand now that the concept of muksa machmas chasarin kiss, something that is a muksa, it is a kli, but it's something he's very, very careful with, like the Paiskim example, his mila knife or his shrita knife, things that he's very careful, he doesn't use for other purposes. And for that matter, we could say an expensive cell phone, for that matter, it's something that for a mutter use, you don't use it. You don't have a usage. So you're makatze, you're das, and you don't use it for anything else, except for its intended use, and its intended use is forbidden. So that makes it that this kli, for all intents and purposes, is a stone. And for all intents and purposes, keli is out of the realm of the kalim. It's not something which is in the in his arsenal of things that he uses. And therefore, except for its use, and that would be also a form of gufa. Of course, it's not the real muksa machmas gufa. It's called muksa machmas sarin kis, but it has the same rules as a rock, and you wouldn't be allowed to move it. Not letzarech mekoyimai or letzarech gufai. Now the Graz, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, discusses paper. And paper, the Shulchan Aruch itself seems to say that paper is muksa machmas chasar and kiss. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that paper would be muksa machmas gufay. The understanding in this is that to say it's muksa machmas chasar and kiss, so you could hear that back then they were very, very careful with their paper. It was more expensive, it was parchment, and whatnot. I'm sure nowadays people have fancy stationery, and that also might be a certain case. It's something that you don't use for other things. And for its intended purpose, it is not usable on Shabbos, because you can't write on paper. Of course, we're talking about paper that wasn't used before Shabbos, wasn't written on. But this type of paper, we could have understood was a chasarin kiss. But nowadays, paper people aren't careful with, and the pashtus most places can take on, that therefore, technically, it should just be a kli shemlach l'isser. It's a kli whose primary purpose is to do isser, which is to write. That's the usage, and therefore, it would be allowed to be moved to tzarek kufel mekoymai. However, the Graz opens up to another possibility that maybe paper is a muksa machmas gufay, because since the paper in this state is not yet, had not been yet written on, so then perhaps we would view this as something that doesn't even have a shame of a kli. because the final Shem Kli comes when things are written on it. It's not yet, it doesn't yet receive its Shem Kli before it is written on. However, that's a chiddush, and most poskim can take on pashtus that paper is a Kli Shem Lach Dali Isser. Live animals, the pashtuses, are also going to be muksa. They're not kalim, and they are neither, they're not food, they're not utensils, they're not usable things on Shabbos, and they're oymid to either be shechted, or they're oymid as just to be there, just to look at, just to exist, and they are basically useless items. And my apologies go out to the animal rights activists, but they are basically useless items, and therefore it is a muksa. Machmas gufay. This is the pashtus. If a person has a seeing eye dog, so that kli has now been designated. It's been turned into a kli. He has turned this into eyes, and therefore, for the pashtus, that's the Moshe talks about this in the tshuva, that the pashtus that would be considered a kli, and therefore it would be allowed to be moved around on Shabbos. The place can say that if a person needs to bring, if he needs to have it in a situation without getting involved now in halachas of erevin, but if it has to be brought to a shul, he should leave it in the back of the shul and chalila not to bring it into the shul. This dog has a use on Shabbos, and therefore it can be moved by anyone, not only the owner, because it's been turned into a kli. And Shlomo Zalman Dan's, Shlomo Zalman Orbach discussed a case of a fish tank, that it's not really like an animal, it's there for its beauty, and maybe that's like flowers. We know that flowers are, that it's a person that's cut flowers and darner's table, so that's ki'ilu, it was designated to beautify the makam, and that's why it's takanat muksa to move around flowers on Shabbos. Flowers that are cut flowers and darner's table, he's allowed to move them on Shabbos, because that's a usage now. That's considered, it does have a shame kli, it was designated as a kli before Shabbos. However, and in the same vein, says Shlomo Zalman, fish, in a fish tank, are there for their beauty, and perhaps they would also not be muksa. It's really based on a Taisvis in Daf Mem Hamad Beis, in the previous Amid, where Taisvis brought up Bishayim and Dibra Maskal Hacham Mayaskina, Pirish Rabbi Yosef, the Leinaka Efrei Chai, Mishim Nechai Chazil, Shatik Baitina, Kishabaycha. So the Taisvis in the first Tarot says Mashmataka, that Behemoth Rabbi Yosef held that it has a usage. A pet is something that is set aside, and it's considered a kli, it's something that a person uses, like a doll. Maisik Taisvis goes on to argue, and brings down that Ephraichim are taka not considered kalim, little chicklets and chicks are not considered kalim, and therefore they would probably be muksa, and that really is the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Hartzvi and the Rav Moshe and others, that about the fish would be considered a muksa machmas gufay, based on this reasoning. It's a useless kli. It's not a kli, excuse me. It's a useless item that doesn't have a shame of a kli on it. And ad kedekach, the water in the fish tank would have a din of a basis, like we discussed previously, and they're housing the muksa, so therefore you wouldn't even be allowed to move it. The fish tank, the tzarech gufay, the tzarech mekayma. Now, it could be, anyways, that these items might have a status of a chasar kiss, because people are extremely careful to keep them in one specific place, if it would be expensive type fish. Medicines, such as antibiotics, which aren't in usage right now, for all intents and purposes, are stones. They're not, the person's not sick before Shabbos, and therefore they would become muksa machmas kufa. They have no use on Shabbos. The person is mikatzi them, he only uses them for their intended purpose, which is certainly not negeya, because the person's not sick, at least as when if Shabbos came in. And therefore one would have to know this. If you'd have antibiotics, for that matter, in a drawer, so then that drawer would be a busis. And we'd have to go and determine, are there other things in that drawer which are more important than the antibiotics, and turn that into a busis, a davar asur, or a davar hamotar. But it's always kedai to put the muksa items in a separate place, put them and not get involved in the shaila. Of course, something like an aspirin, basic medicines that are always in use, the person always knows he might get a possibility of a headache, and of course only a headache which he'd have a heter to take medicine on Shabbos for, but since there always is a possibility of using a painkiller on Shabbos, so generally people are not makatze daitai, and therefore this would be considered like oichlin, something that a person is going to use on Shabbos. For that matter, raw barley is considered like pebbles and stones on Shabbos. It's not a kli, and you can't eat it. Raw barley, a person obviously can't eat. Raw flour, you can't eat. And these things, if you have some chocolate behind the raw barley, you wouldn't be, or raw flour, or all these types of raw products for that matter, which is not a kli, and it's not edible, it's not food at this point. So therefore, he would certainly not be allowed to move it, not l'tzarech gufay, not l'tzarech mekayma, based on our Gemara. Doesn't have a shame of a kli. There's actually an interesting Shulchan Aruch that says that one may only be meyached a muksa, even if you want to be meyached and turn it into a kli, you want to turn this into a kli, it's only for a real tzarech. What's a real tzarich? So the Shulchan Aruch says a ball, for example. In the time of Shulchan Aruch, he discusses a ball, and he says a ball, playing ball, is not called a real tzarich, and therefore that yichud doesn't have an importance. You weren't miyachided for something important. A doorstopper is a something. Being miyachid something for a ball is not a playing a spiel, a game. That's not considered a usage. That's not considered a chash of a usage. Now you have to know. Granted, the Rama over there argues the Pashas and Mishabur is that a ball, even though you were miyachided for something which is not an important tzarech, but that's enough of a yichud. The ball industry of nowadays, mistama, is such a big industry and it's such a big metzias that it would be hard to say that even a svardi who's chayshish for the Shulchan Aruch, the chayra, if they fashioned the ball into a ball, not like in those days when they just took a chayz, a couple of pebbles, put them together and said, this is a ball. But nowadays that they fashioned the ball and they have an entire industry which is based on this, whether we like it or not, but is that existence which certainly makes it that a ball is a tzairich. And since it's a tzairich, or akoponim, it's definitely it has a chashivis to it. The yichud has a chashivis. And therefore, the Ashiv said that even a svardi wouldn't have to be chayshish for the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch on a regular ball nowadays, barring the halachas of when one is yes allowed to play ball on Shabbos or not allowed to play ball on Shabbos. However, a svardi needs to know that Rabbi Tzion Abishol says that this still applies to svardim today, and that a ball is not considered a yichud of importance. The nafkamina of this machlaikas would be, in Mordegay and Eretz Yisrael, the children play a game called Ajuim. Ajuim is a game where they take the pits of apricots and they have a collection of these Ajuim. They play different things with them. They have different games that they play with these Ajuim. And that would be a real application of this Machlekes, the setting aside an Ajuim, an apricot pit, for the purpose of this game that they play is mamish doimit to the Shulchan Aruch. They took a stone and they placed it aside to as what they consider their marbles and their pebble. They consider their marbles. So that would be lefi the Shulchan Aruch, not a chashiva yichud. And it would come out that yichud to be used as just a ball, not fashioned for a ball, but as a fake game. So lefi the Shulchan Aruch, that wouldn't be a proper yichud, and it would remain in the parsha of muksa. And these ajuim that the children have hundreds and thousands of them, they would be considered, the whole entire pot would be considered muksa, and you wouldn't be allowed to move it or play with them for that matter on Shabbos. Mashenkin, according to the Rama, if the child would set aside these ajuim before Shabbos, and you have to know if a child's yichud is called a yichud, but assuming that a child had that ability, or at least his father is nicha and very happy that the yichud should exist, so that his child is kept busy, so then according to Ashkenazim, that would certainly be considered a proper yichud, and l'fi the Ashkenazim, you'd be allowed to play with them on Shabbos. Of course, if the apricots were only eaten on Shabbos, then there was no designation of these pits before Shabbos. And then as when of Shabbos came in, they were not set aside, and that would definitely be a problem of muksa, because then just like pits and shells, for that matter, of eggshells, these things are all, of course, non-usable. And the mashal, when a person shells an egg, he would have to do it straight over a garbage, or he was going to have to find a way to move it to the garbage on Shabbos. Now, the shiloh of bones, the mice of the Shulchan Aruch says that bones left on a plate after a meal are takanat moksa, because there's dogs in the community that can eat them. And even in a place like Yerushalayim, where there's takanat that many dogs, but unfortunately there are dogs, there are enough dogs around within at least a half an hour's walk, and we don't say that these bones that they don't have a use. Well, still they'll have a use. You can technically feed them to a dog. Mice, it's just like a baby bottle in an army base, even though there's no body who's using it, but it doesn't lose its shame kli for that matter. Agam that you might not be feeding them to the dogs, but the existence and the possibility exists. The only question that one can question is that nowadays it's unusual to feed bones to dogs. Many dog owners wouldn't let you feed your leftovers to the dog, because they're more makbid and the dogs are kinayin hara eating better than the humans, and therefore it would taka shed a suffix on this halacha. Does that have a status of dog food? On Yontif, there's a different problem, that bones are taka muksa because of noilad, despite it being animal food, and even if there would be animals around, but that's a different shayla. Yontif's more machmir than Shabbos. Maisla, see this, if a person would have a little bit of food, a little bit of mashu of chicken left on the bone, then certainly he'd be allowed to move it. But if there wouldn't be anything left on the bone, then it would be a shayla if he would have to move it al-yidei tiltum and atzad, in direct movement. But anyways, usually there's a teirim because of graf shel rei. It disgusts the person to have the bone still there, and there would be a mokim for the kula anyways. Raw fish is certainly muksa, because raw fish is not edible, and that state is, in that status for sure not, and therefore it's always considered muksa. The shayla is raw meat, that's a shayla in the halacha, because in the olden times it seems to be that they taka, it wasn't muksa, kenvur in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinches and Siflam and Aleph, because they used to eat raw meat. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says that this wasn't in our time, and the Aruch HaShulchan's writing this 100 years ago, and it's rather not common to eat this meat. The only question is that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't comment. The Mishnah Berurah lived in the exact same time as the Aruch HaShulchan, and it would be mashma that the Mishnah Berurah seemingly held that even if people don't eat raw meat, but since it was possible to eat raw meat, therefore it perhaps wouldn't get the status of muksa. It would be considered edible. Of course, l'chatchila, a person should definitely not move raw meat on Shabbos, especially in our time that mamish nobody eats raw meat, and mamish people are nervous about the diseases and bacteria, and therefore, unless it would be a tremendous shasat chak, for example, if a freezer went out, if a freezer went off, and a person has to move his things from one freezer to a different freezer, perhaps in that case it could be meikel to move it. It would certainly be better to move it with a shinoi and to be chayshish for the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan that nowadays raw meat is considered moksa.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.